There are about 24,000 federal HR professionals in the federal government, another 2,500 who are in EEO or civil rights. And the concern is that, to some extent, this is our first line of defense in making sure that the federal HR systems, policies, and practices work well. And the concern is that that first line of defense may have some holes in it, not just in terms of numbers, more so in the area of getting the sort of HR competencies we need. The world of HR has changed dramatically over just the last 10 years, and certainly even more dramatically over the last 20 and 30 years. You know, we're looking to fix the hiring process. We're looking at different pay systems, possible. We're looking at, a new era of labor relations, and federal managers are under pressure to, step up their game, and the folks they rely upon are the HR professionals. And, so we have to address the issue as to whether or not we have the sort of HR professionals that we need and what the future of the HR profession is, we actually have a panel of very experienced folks and some very new folks coming by in about 15 minutes this morning.
Wow.
We're going to start gathering.
All right, so you'll have a group of HR professionals that are going to do what?
They are going to talk about the future of their profession. We have two chief human capital officers, Gail Lovelace from GSA and Jeff Neal from the Department of Homeland Security. We've got two deputy chief human capital officers, Susie Barker from Labor and Rick Hastings from Treasury, who, as senior HR professionals, are going to talk about their view of the state of health of federal HR. And I think, based on prior discussion with them, the patient is not quite as healthy as we'd like. We also have three newer entrants to federal HR, including someone who just really became an intern a few months ago in HR in GSA, Kirsten Daniel, Jennifer McCarthy at Justice, and Rashad Holmes at VA. They're going to talk about what their experience has been to date. Would they recommend this as a career for other folks? And what are their recommendations for the future that they will be part of?
And John, can you answer whether or not HR has been hard hit in the past? Have the HR leaders who have retired not been replaced? I mean, I notice a lack of human resource people within the federal government.
Jane, that's exactly the case in during the reinvention of government in the 90s. The notion was that we were going to be able to reduce the size of the federal workforce due to improvements in technology and simplified processes and all that. And one of the ideas for reducing the workforce was to cut the number of overhead positions, and the HR was considered an overhead position. So about over 20% of the HR workforce in the 90s was given buyouts or, you know, subject to, you know, reductions. And there was no hiring going on because we were actually getting people out. So we had a workforce that was aging in place. And in fact, the latest projections from the Office of Personnel Management is that 40% of the HR folks currently on board will retire in the next 10 years. And then we're going to lose more on top of that through, you know, quitting, going on to other things, going outside of HR. So that was part of the problem. We have started replacing, you know, the folks who are leaving, but now the concern is, you know, are we finding the right people, and are they getting the right kind of training and development for this new brave era of HR in the government?
So essentially, we have not been taking care of the seed corn, if you to put it simply, right?
That's right, Tom, and or another metaphor is that, you know, the HR folks are like the shoemaker whose children are barefoot. they're the ones who are supposed to be concerned about the health of the workforce generally, but their own workforce, the HR profession, is in need of some attention.